Welcome to Saimu Series, a podcast about mental health. We will touch on popular topics and insights from professionals from Saimu. Hi everyone, this is Sally and this is Saimu Podcast. Welcome. And today we have a lovely guest. Her name is Suzanne Toro. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Suzanne, can you please tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I've been in the wellness field for, or had a private practice for about 20 years, almost 20 years now. And how I work with people is basically addressing four pillars: their mental body, their emotional body, their spiritual body, and then their physical body. So, and that allows, I've found over the years, to really get into some areas that might be interconnected. So we could have mental things going on, but they could be related to the physical body, or we could have emotional things going on that are related to the spiritual body or the physical body. So, and then the practices are all derived from Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, nature's path, and then some spiritual practices from Tibet and different native tribes that I'm associated with. So
amazing. Yeah, today's topic we're going to be talking about is psycho-spiritual healing. And I'm excited because I don't think a lot of people know about this different kind of healing. What is psycho-spiritual healing?
Yeah, so psycho-spiritual, from a lens of Chinese medicine, actually, all, and Tibetan medicine, I would say, all healing is psycho-spiritual, meaning that when we get it right in the mind and our soul or spirit, however one wants to look at it, then the true healing can start. So we have all these other modalities that can support us in that process, but if we don't ever look at it, then it tends to repeat itself in a cycle. And so where I feel where we're at right now in humanity, it's pretty exciting because more and more in the clinical setting, people are open to other things. You know, I've worked 10 years teaching group sessions in a eating disorder clinic. And so there's more openness to it, to like, hey, what's going on? This isn't just, you know, a label or a diagnosis. There's more going on there. So I feel like we're just at the cusp of really embracing and understanding that our soul, people might scientifically relate to that as that DNA helix spinning up our body, has information and is encoded with information from our ancestors and in this most present moment. And that can inform balance, harmony, and it can also inform disharmony. So it's exciting to me, based on a lot of my practices, to be able to work with people and look at it at this deep introspective level, and then tie it back to like the physical world so it makes sense.
I love that. Like, so like, as a person who's looking into this for like therapy, like, do you have to be a spiritual person to be like getting the most benefit from this kind of healing?
Absolutely not. You can, and I work with people from all faiths of the world and people that are agnostic or atheist, maybe naturalist, but everyone has a spirit or a soul. It's been proven scientifically at death. The body gets lighter. And so, yeah, they don't have to have a spiritual practice, but the inquiry and the questions kind of starts delving them into that space. And I always encourage people, if they do have faith, to meet their faith, whatever it is. And I have no problem supporting whatever their faith is, you know, as long as it doesn't harm themselves or others. Yeah.
That's pretty cool that like you could bring the your faith to like meeting someone like yourself and bring it to the therapy session and kind of incorporate those ideas to what you are trying to benefit from. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty amazing what I've witnessed, you know, and I work with people at birth, life, transitions, and death. So I get to see these different facets that are really beautiful. You know, so it's nice. And for someone that can explain the unexplainable, there's plenty of conversations scientifically to relate to that through quantum physics, through medical studies, and now there's so much more, I would say, inquiry from mental health community and even the physical health community that they're starting to like, okay, we have to check this out a little bit further. So yeah, it's beautiful.
That's so interesting. Like, I wonder, like, how would somebody connect with their inner spiritual soul? Like, how would you, like, how do you develop that? Like, how do you connect with something like that?
So my number one I go to is meditation, silence. So then it doesn't require any theology or any belief system. It's you in silence. So that is my tried and true when I need to like ground and recenter. And it's also for people that suffer trauma. It's a great practice. And I have a Zazen, a Japanese approach, so that they can actually get a little rapid eye treatment at the same time by staring at a candle. And once you get silent, the soul starts inviting you back. It's kind of like if you feed a baby every day at 9 a.m., the baby's going to cry if you don't feed the baby at 9 a.m., right? So our soul is the same way. If you start feeding it every morning when you wake up, even with just 5 minutes of silence, it's going to crave it. It's going to welcome you to come back to that spot. And then a lot of things start to clear away without having to put effort, which I love, you know, and certainty comes in too. It's like, oh, the more time you spend in that quiet space. Yeah.
That's so cool. And like, what type of person benefits from this kind of like spiritual healing, the psycho-spiritual healing? Like, could it be, like, I know you talked about people who are suffering from PTSD. Could it be anyone who wants to kind of try this?
Yeah, absolutely. All condition, any human, dogs and animals actually kind of like some of it because they like to sit and like transmute energy. Oh. But yeah, anyone that's feeling disharmony or imbalance or wants to really anchor in a solid understanding of themselves so they can thrive in the world, it's suitable for. So it can be, you know, like I said, when those imbalances are, it could be mental health, it could be physical disharmony, which we call disease. It can be emotional, needing emotional regulation or wanting emotional regulation or addiction, eating disorders, the list goes on, but everyone can benefit. And over the years, I've worked integratively, you know, in the Western field and in the Eastern field. So that's nice, too. It doesn't have to be like, you know, it sometimes takes a tribe to help support someone coming back into balance. Yeah. So everyone can benefit. And especially, you know, at each phase of life, there's different things that we're destined to access. Yeah.
Definitely. Like, I think this is like such an interesting way of therapy. Like if you're looking for something different and something curious to try, it might be something that somebody might be interested yeah. of like exploring, because like you said, it kind of might tap into something different, like, because everybody's brain is made differently.
Absolutely.
And how you could experience your soul, it might be a different way to tap into that, to kind of release or look into how to benefit from like a certain session or like certain situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's well said. It's also a way to, like, sometimes what will happen is people, if they're used to a lot of talk therapy, just like strictly talk therapy, they can get tired of that or feel frustrated. And not to say it doesn't serve, or I have a lot of clients, they have their weekly therapist, traditional therapist meeting and work with me too, because I integrate other modalities that complement those things. And it's sometimes a good way to have a checks and balance, where they might say, oh, so-and-so said this, and we can talk about it a little different, and I can give them practices. In the East, like yogic and Tibetan approach, and even Japanese approach would be to have a practice. So we're not meant to just like have it fixed in a moment. It takes time to remap those neurotransmitters, stop karmic cycles, all these things that sometimes in the Western world, we want a quick fix, you know, but I always remind people that it doesn't necessarily happen that way, you know? Yeah.
I love how you like brought that up where it could be something that you accompany with other therapy because it might like enrich a different part of your psyche that you never have noticed before.
Absolutely. So it's beneficial that way. And I, you know, encourage people to get in contact with, I call it, you know, we all have wisdom within us. And so that's really what the process is opening up them to really hearing their own wisdom. Because I feel like most people, whether they have any, you know, let's say a mental health, a chronic mental health diagnosis or pathology, that they don't give themselves the credit that they have wisdom within themselves. And sometimes when they learn to start listening with checks and balances, they'll be surprised, like, wow, I had that information inside of me, but I maybe didn't have a way to access it.
Right. Yeah, because like you could do only so much in therapy that like you said, like trying different techniques from what you have learned from the East, it's like it like that could be the missing puzzle piece to kind of like realize that that could have been like something that you needed in your life at that moment that kind of ground you and realize that you do have the tools that you need, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there like different types of spiritual therapy? I know that you kind of mentioned a little bit of the meditation of the East and everything, but like, are there different types?
Mine, I guess the base anchor is in Chinese medicine. So traditional Chinese medicine will work with the whole system as an integrated system, not like parceling it off. Like, okay, we have mental health, we have a heart condition. So I work the electromagnetic system. So I couple what I do with the inquiry on the soul level with sound and electromagnetic therapy simultaneously, typically in a session. I mean, we talk first and then we have that that component. And so in traditional Chinese medicine, there wasn't diagnosis. What we've seen in Ayurveda and Chinese medicine is people more symptom-oriented society. And so they want to like, oh, I have back pain. Can you fix my back? Or I have, you know, I don't know, anxiety or depression, fix it. Where traditional Chinese medicine, you're looking at the soul, you're going to the root, which is stored in your soul to determine why that's there and where it came from. And then where it located in the physical body, emotional body, and spiritual body. So different practitioners that practice Chinese medicine, if they're more traditional, like as it would be taught in the East versus maybe in the West, they would access that point. And then I would say you would see other components of this down, like some of the elders I've worked with in Guatemala or from Peru, they are working on a beyond body sense to work with the balancing.
Whoa, beyond body. Wow.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about like how you're mentioning with your sessions, like you work with like the electricity, like that kind of the sounds and everything. Like, I know that Simood, we're mostly an online therapy session. Does that like even translate on an online like
Absolutely. Yeah, I have clients all over and it works via the phone and the device, you know, visual device too. Sometimes because of the sound can actually interfere with the electronics a little bit. Sometimes we'll go just to the phone part because it translates a little bit better. That's how I dialed it in. I mean, I had a woman I chanted for 12 hours during her child delivery. The baby came out so happy, but it kept at the hot. We were at UCLA and they kept running in like, what's going on with the monitor? I'm like, it's just me. So, but it works on all devices and stuff, and people feel it. They would maybe not think that they're going to feel it in their physical body when we're on a device, but they do. So
that is amazing. Like, is that your favorite technique? Is the electro music and that kind of technique?
I would say it's helpful because for the individuals, it gets them out of the way. So I'm using my vocals and certain instruments to move the earth's energy where they are and their body to rebalance. So a simple technique for anyone listening, if they want, like they're feeling like stressed or overwhelmed, they can go outside and lay on the earth or put their back to a tree. And I think there's some recent papers I've seen coming out about trees too, which I can share a little helpful tip, but the earth and the trees, you know, the trees in photosynthesis and transmuting energy all day long. So if you sit back, like on retreats, I'll take people out in the wilderness and I'll have them go sit with a tree for a while. And they're amazed at all the different fun things that happen, but it'll balance the system. And then if someone's really suffering emotionally or mentally or physically, I say, put a blanket down, lay on the earth. And within 15 minutes, if they're willing, their system will be regulated. So the electromagnetic field will go back to where it is. And when my kids were teenagers, I used to take them to hug trees, because I've always been a tree lover, but we would do it at night because I didn't want to embarrass them. So we would go run through the parks at night and hug the trees. And especially, you know, I could just tell they were down, or, you know, you have to check in with your teens. Like, how's your mind? You know, that's always a conversation I have with my kids. Like, how's the mind today? And recently I just sent them the video. They were saying, I don't know, there was an ancient tree tribe or something, but the trees are so loving to us and they're so helpful. So for people that feel alone, I would encourage, go hug a tree, have a couple tree friends, take a book, sit down, read, journal. Those are ways to have the same benefits of rebalancing the electromagnetic field. And then having like a practitioner like myself, there was a call. I apologize.
No problem.
I'm trying to make it stop. Okay. Having a practitioner that you're working with beyond nature is helpful, because then you can get into some of the nitty gritty. And what will happen when the system gets out of balance is we have habits that we do out in the everyday world that lead to our disharmony. So that's why it's helpful to have, you know, a therapist and a, you know, sometimes additional practitioners that you can make sure that you're keep you in check, like, hey, are you practicing this? And so that's helpful. And then the sound, when the balancing, it'll keep lifting off layers that are stored in the system. So that's the other part of Chinese medicine that they've shown, is that electrically you can have things stored in your electrical channels that are there historically, and then start to manifest in the physical, mental, and emotional body. And then once that keeps getting lifted off, then they can be free of it and never have certain conditions again. So.
Amazing. I love that tip of like going into nature, trying to ground yourself. Like like you said, there's so many like papers, information on the internet, I believe you even mentioned like tribes out there that mention like just being in nature will just help ground you and help just like be in the moment, because we're always so like busy now with technology. And yeah, like you said, like when you're in nature, you kind of slowly step back and you kind of slow down, like without even like knowing that you are slowing down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I love that tip that you gave, because like, yeah, like right now, like I know I mentioned to you earlier, like it's snowing now, which is not great, but it's going to be spring. Yeah. It is supposed to be spring soon, and it's a perfect time like just to go out there, go on a trail if you can, just look at the clouds. I love the idea where you said bring a blanket or like something to sit on the grass.
Yeah. Like, yep.
Just like those simple things to like, you know, if you don't have a person like Suzanne to talk to, you need just a quick moment to kind of slow down. That that could be like a simple yeah. way to check in and say, hey, do I'm liking this.
Yeah.
I wonder what else Suzanne could inspire me through this psycho-spiritual therapy. I'm like,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a beautiful way to connect. Yeah.
I love this. And then it also, like, I know like there's, you have like so many different techniques during your therapy time. Like, did you mention also you work with like sounds and music and like enchanting, like that? Like, can you tell us a little bit about that, and how does it kind of reflect in our like being? Like, how does it soothe the soul and everything?
Yeah, so it will. I use my voice and instruments. I'm in my studio right now, and so I'll meet the body, and I have a skill of being able to move energy with my voice and with my instruments and the earth. I guess Qigong would be a good way for people to relate if they've ever done that. That's another great practice. You learn how to work with the elements and move the body. And so I use those techniques with my clients and then push through their system and then whatever's ready to lift off. And so sometimes they'll see things, they'll feel things, they'll hear things. Sometimes they'll have ancestors come to them, and so it's another bridge to that unexplainable, and then it's different every time. And sometimes if they're too much in their head, it's like they pass out. It's pretty interesting. And it would be also I always tell people I do acupuncture without needles. I use notes or sounds. And so it's like that, you know, where the meridians are, and it's always very telling for me. So I'm feeling their body through my field to theirs, because we all are electromagnetic and have the ability to, you know, sense one another. Simple examples, like if you're angry and I'm in the same space with you, I can feel it. You know, people will know, like, if even if you're not talking, like if you come in and your energy field is shifting, if you're in a loving space, I can feel it, you know. So that's how I can connect a little bit too. So, and then part of the my traditions are from Mongolia, where we put nature sounds. So like, I can give you one right now if you want.
Oh, sure.
It might help people understand. So this is, it's also tied to Tibet, but it's a clearing of the channels, and it sounds, well, I'll let you see. You can tell me what you think it sounds like.
Sure. Oh, I'm excited.
So just a little flavoring there.
Oh,
what did that remind you of?
It kind of reminded me of like a nice like breeze in a way. Like it just felt, I felt like I was like outdoors looking at like a cloud, just breezy, bright, very calm. Nice.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, so another connection to the trees and the wind, and we've started to clear energy. I can feel it off you right now, so you might feel a little different in a moment. So that's just one example of like from Mongolia. And then tonal sounds, like in Guatemala, we'll use just like the it's like consonants, but it sounds like and you keep moving the sounds till the energy moves in the physical body. And then there's traditional instruments like flutes and keyboard and longer chanting that I do that works too. And then obviously sound has become a little bit of popular right now. The only thing I would caution to people is, one, to make sure any practitioner has a code of ethics, and if they truly understand sound, because sound in the most primitive way has nothing to do with classical music. And so a lot of times people are like, oh, let me entertain you, and sure, a lot of music can make us feel good, but that's not true sound clearing in the body. And then if your practitioner doesn't have a code of ethics and they have their own thing going on, that can be transmitted to you as a client or a patient, and that can be detrimental. So I just encourage people to make sure, you know, with anyone that you're working with, the best you can, you don't like, but you can tell by their behaviors and certain things, especially in this day and age. Yeah.
I think that's a great education piece where like, yeah, like music therapy and these different types of therapy, the spiritual therapy, is different from listening to like your Spotify or like going to a concert or like, you know, like some things, like you said, if you're going through a breakup, listening to lots of breakup songs are always great.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit different when it, like when somebody comes to you, for example, they won't be expecting a breakup song.
Yeah.
I guess that's like the easiest way I could think of.
Absolutely. That's perfect. Yeah. And sometimes it's nice, you know, like in a yoga class, sometimes it's a curated playlist and it kind of like gets you in the motion, or like a spin class, that kind of thing. But yeah, different for sure. Yeah.
And like Suzanne, I really like how you even mentioned at the beginning that you know, you could be a person that is experiencing like different things, like you said, like you don't have to come, nobody needs to come to you as like to say, I need like a spiritual enlightenment, I need to, you know, I want to, like they could just come to you and say, hey, like I am having a some sort of like eating disorder, or I am trying to lose some weight, or I am trying to be more empowered in like giving speeches. It could be an anxiety issue or anything, and then like they could come to you and try something different to kind of learn something about themselves. Like, and I think that's kind of neat, like, because like, you know, I'm hoping that we're just like having this conversation that the people will understand that, you know, this is something that you could try and learn. And if it doesn't work, it's not for you. But for somebody who's been like thinking of like looking into this, like we have you to talk to. And it's, yeah, I think it's a pretty amazing, like, I hope other people think that this is something they could try on their mental health journey.
Absolutely. And when you were speaking, I didn't mention is there's an integration of a food component when you said depression and anxiety. So that's another facet that when I give people practices, sometimes it's has to do with their nutrition, but not just like so like hardcore nutrition. It might be like, oh, it'd be really beneficial for you to drink some rose tea, or, you know, it's very subtle things to integrate, especially like with depression or anxiety, and able to integrate if they are on pharmacology to make sure that that's safe too, because I'm very big proponent on understanding contraindications, which can happen through food and herbs and big pharma medication too. So but that's another component that I offer to help
Yeah, like I know that essential oils and smells like that is also like an alternative way of people are trying to do to heal and everything. Yeah. Would you be like, do you also give pointers on that as well? Like,
yeah, in Ayurveda, I always love to get people starting to work with some of the lifestyle techniques, and one is an Abhyanga. So sometimes I'll blend custom oils, or you can bring in certain essential oils that will help them, and then they can either massage their feet or put the oil of, it's a full body self massage, but they can do components like their hands, all of that on a daily basis. Or when I have people on retreat, we share kitchen duty, and I always tell them the kitchen sink is like a womb. When you're at home, you can do this too. You light a candle, put some essential oils in, wash the dishes and enjoy the experience, not like a chore. And it's really because on our hands, they're connected to our hearts. So by putting our hands in the warm water, even if you have a dishwasher, wash some of the dishes old school in the sink. You'll save maybe some energy if you don't, you know, you don't have a big household. But so there's techniques like that that can help integrate those yummy things that we have in our life, and help in us in the process of refinding balance, or it becomes a habit, you know, a healthy habit.
Definitely. I think, yeah, I do have a dishwasher, but I like washing dishes by hand. It's like a weird thing, but it's great.
Yeah.
Now I have that little excuse of like, yeah, I'm like cleansing myself while I'm doing this. That's a good thing. Yeah. Good way to look at it. It's not favorite chore, but now I know. Like,
yeah. Well, and it works good. I had a friend, and she's been a client too, but she said the other day she had family visiting, and it, you know, sometimes family visiting can trigger things. And she's like, so I went, because I call it the womb. I went to the womb and washed the dishes. And that was her time out, so she could like reground and then re-engage with the family. So
oh, that's
it works so well at holidays.
Yeah, especially if you just need to like move away from chatter, like that's a great excuse to kind of be like, okay, I'm just like, I need something to do. And
yeah,
like, washing dishes is a great excuse.
Absolutely. And it's helpful.
It is. You're like doing something good.
Yeah.
You're helping.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's like, I have another question for you. And how young can you try this therapy? Like, is it for all ages? Like, do you have to be a certain age to try this?
All ages, from in utero to your death gateway, it's great for. As I mentioned, I've chanted people in their body and out of the body. And yeah, so, and kids resonate with it well. Like, I have a lot of families that I've worked with for decades, and all their family members through very significant events like deaths and births, and maybe just, you know, everyone needs someone to chat to kind of thing. But the younger adolescents and teens really love being able to talk a little bit and then have sound and energy work, because it's like, okay, I gotta do that, but now I gotta just be. And you know, they feel lighter energetically afterwards. So yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. Like,
yeah,
like my son, he's 13, and I love how in his curriculum, they are introducing like meditation and different ways to kind of ground themselves, because I think even like the teachers realize that is something that, you know, it is so important to kind of have that moment, those little moments. Like, you know, everybody knows recess is important, but you know, like they know their nose one's noticing, just like to give that moment of like meditation or like deep breathing. It's also helpful because we all don't pay attention to that no more, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. A short breath break or silent break is super helpful, probably for the kids and the teacher. So,
and all moms out there.
Yeah. Yeah. When my kids were young, I used to do group like meditation and yoga for the kids and the moms, but really oftentimes it's the moms or dads that really need that pause and the break. And the kids, you know, want to be goofy and roll around. They're our teachers sometimes on how to be present, even though sometimes they don't want to pay attention to the things we want them to pay attention to. Yeah.
It is so important. I do agree. And it's sometimes, like you said, it is hard.
Yeah.
But like, I guess like once you, like, this is a practice, and then like, you know, somebody, like anyone out there who wants to try, that remember it's maybe something you could experience right away, a feeling of change, or something. Sometimes it could take a few more tries to feel like this is, like, your body will know right away when you talk to Suzanne that if this is a therapy for you or not. And if it is, like, I'm happy to educate you out there that about psycho-spiritual therapy, and thank you, Suzanne, for like educating us on this. This was so enlightening, and I hope we gave alternative therapy to anyone out there who is interested.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate you shining a light on it and me. And thank you for all you do too, you know, with reaching the world and mental health across the World Wide Web.
Thank you. Yeah. And again, Suzanne Toro is on Simon. Please send her a message. Book a session with her. It's going to be amazing. And please, and then if you do, please let me know how it went. And yeah, we hope to like hear from you again. And Suzanne, I hope you join us again in the future. We could talk about something else, which I am totally looking forward to.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
SciMood is an online mental health platform that connects you with mental health specialists who speaks your language and understand your culture. You can find us at our website at SciMood.com and on our social media channels on Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn at MySciMood. Don't forget to follow, like, and share, and comment. Thank you for existing.